Today is Groundhog's Day. It means absolutely nothing, but yet it is a national holiday. There's no mail today, and post offices are closed, and no federal offices. No, I don't think that's the case. It's Groundhog's Day, Groundhog Day, where groundhogs all across this country gather together in protest. I guess in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania somewhere, this little gerbil comes out of its hole, this little mole, this little piece of crap comes out of the ground and predicts things. And unfortunately, the groundhog did come out, saw a shadow, and predicted 4 more years of Trump.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Don't do that.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hi. Hello. You chose this, not my fault. Julie?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you so much. I am your host. I'm your host. I don't even know what that means. I have no idea. Buckle your seatbelt, because I'm going to take you on a ride, and then you can do whatever you want after that. But right now, hold on. Hey, we have a new sound system today. I don't know if you can tell the difference. I should be a bit clearer today. My bass should be more resonant. My treble should be higher and more enjoyable. My voice should be a fanciful fest for you at this particular juncture in your life. How you doing? Today is Groundhog's Day. Groundhog Day, Groundhog's Day. I have no idea which. I think they're going to collect my garbage today. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's a holiday or not. I don't believe it is. I think the stores are still open. Anyway. Yeah, today's the day that we honor furry little things. I don't know the difference. I'm not really big on the mole family, the classification of moles. I had one on my arm once. I had it removed. But I don't think that's what they're talking about. I had a pet gerbil once. Somehow it got loose from the string, and I don't know where it is. Although my next colonoscopy could be very interesting. In the gerbil family, you will find the groundhog, the sloth, probably your ex-wife, or your ex-husband. I'm sorry, I don't want to be sexist about this. I want to be an equal opportunity insulter. The groundhog is very closely related to the beaver. I'm not talking about Theodore Cleaver. I'm talking about that little animal that builds dams, which is my namesake, by the way. The beaver is a very fastidious little creature, little mole. And this has nothing to do with the beaver whatsoever, by the way. Ward, the beaver. This has to do with this tiny little vermin is what it is. It's a groundhog. The groundhog is the national animal of Bolivia. Did you know that? I made it up. But it could be. Now a lot of people might think it is. You know why? Because it's an alternative fact. Somebody told me that was the national animal of Bolivia, and so therefore it's fact. Anyway, so this little, this groundhog, there's only one left, lives in Pennsylvania, just in a suburb just outside of Pennsylvania, I believe. They call it Pawtuxet, and I believe this groundhog originally was from Pawtucket. That's why they call it that. This little groundhog has a little apartment underground. Nice little place. It's a duplex. Rent control, of course. Otherwise, because the groundhog doesn't work. The groundhog just stays in its little hole all day. Very similar to my lifestyle, by the way. It's basically what I do. I stay in my little hole all day. I pop my head out every once in a while to do a show. Anyway, this is all predicated. This groundhog comes out of the ground at sunrise in Pennsylvania, the Keystone State. And the groundhog, if it sees its shadow, it means one of two things. It means six more weeks of winter, or it could mean that it's just basically sunny outside. It's pretty much all that really means. If the groundhog comes out and its fur gets wet, it's six more weeks of rain. That's what happened to Noah and his freaking ark. I mean, if there were 6 weeks of rain, you'd build an ark too, wouldn't you? At least you'd pile everything into the rowboat. Must have been hard for Noah to find two of every animal. Although if it was ants or cockroaches, that would have been no problem. Otherwise, everything else is pretty much extinct now, isn't it? I saw a cat yesterday. I went, whoa, they're still alive? They still roam the earth? I didn't believe that. Anyway, 6 more weeks of winter or not, it doesn't really matter. I think if the groundhog doesn't see its shadow, it's 4 more weeks of winter. What the hell's the difference? What the hell is the difference? As you know, last year it hardly snowed at all, which was pleasant. So far, not so bad this year either, whatever year this is, 2000 what? I don't know what date this is. I'm still writing 1993 on my checks. I use that joke all the time. I mean, you must be sick of it by now. But it's true. That's an alternative fact. It's just amazing that in this intelligent day and age of our lives, that we actually pay attention to a particular groundhog coming out of a hole. And am I right or am I wrong? Do they dress this groundhog up? I believe they put some pants on it. And if you're going to be out in public and you're going to be on all the shows, you know, you really should wear pants. And that goes for the reporters and the people in the crowd as well. But the groundhog, really, you know, this Donald Duck thing, you know, Donald Duck never wore pants, had no genitals. I don't know if ducks have penises. I don't know much about ducks. They're tasty, as long as you cut that pussy fat away. But otherwise, duck's very tasty. And we're not supposed to eat animals because that would be ridiculous. I mean, what if we were not the commanding species here and there was something above us, like dinosaurs or vultures or something, and it was perfectly natural for them to just kill human beings for food and display us in the meat counter in a supermarket. I mean, you wouldn't like that, would you? No, there'd be protests more than there are now. So I don't think it's right for us to go around killing animals. So I let somebody else do it so I can enjoy a nice steak dinner. You know what I'm saying? Very up in the air about that whole thing. Anyway, Groundhog Day, how are you? And this is the day that we honor our groundhogs. And if the groundhogs are listening, thank you for your service. I don't know what that meant. I think it insulted some people. I really do. I don't think everybody enjoyed that joke too much. But it's funny, really, anyway. to me. We honor groundhogs all over this country. They are upstanding. I don't even know what they do. I really don't. I don't know what a groundhog does. I the only groundhog I know is this Dr. Phil thing, and I don't know I know. I know there's a mayor of this town when the groundhog comes out of its hole, and the mayor is dressed up in a top hat. Looks like that little creature from the Monopoly game, you know, that little guy with the monocle, and then the, looks like a tiny Mr. Peanut, only human being-wise. I think there's the mayor dresses up like that. And that's I think that's the most pathetic part of the entire holiday, if it's a holiday at all, is that somebody in a crowd actually dresses up stupidly. Because that's just embarrassing. That's all that is. It's just embarrassing. there's no point to that. So I don't know. I don't know what the groundhog said. I don't know if the groundhog talks and says, you got six more weeks of winter, Buster. I don't know if the groundhog actually verbalizes this or whether it's a press release that the groundhog puts out. I really don't know. I have no idea about what a groundhog is, does, or anything like that. I've never eaten groundhog. I believe it's probably tasty with onions, probably nice. A little bit of garlic, a little bit of onions, a little groundhog filleted. And you got yourself six more weeks of food is what you got there with that groundhog. Tasty, tasty little dish. The groundhog. Are we done talking about the groundhog now? Can we move on? Because this is annoying. I'm annoying myself already.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
To the program, ladies and gentlemen. That's the beginning to Simple Sister by Procol Harum. A nice little guitar lick. Lick that guitar, baby. Unless it's electric, you don't want to do that. I went to the 99 restaurant yesterday because I couldn't afford to go to the 98. You get it? That was a joke. I don't quite understand that restaurant. I don't understand the name of it. I don't understand why it's called the 99 as opposed to Bob's. Because there's a Bob's everything. There's a Bob's Burger. There's a Bob's Furniture Store. There's a Bob's Discount Department Store. There's a Bob. There's a store with its name on it. And the only reason to name a store Bob is, well, there is no reason, actually. If you're going to spend millions of dollars to open up a chain of stores, can you come up with a better name than Bob's? Can you sit around a large table with some other creative minds and come up with something a little bit more enticing than Bob's? It sounds like you're going to somebody's house to have a beer. What do you want to do? Let's go to Bob's. To his house or to that furniture store? I don't know, whatever, I don't care. I just like going to places named Bob. It's just... I mean, no offense if your name is Bob, but there's not a simpler name on the planet. Obviously, because even if you misspell the name, you're dyslexic and you spell it backwards, you still got Bob. You can't go wrong with the Bob. It's also a verb. It's what you do with apples in water, boiling water usually. You Bob for them. I don't know how that came up. Obviously, some guy named Bob stuck his face in the water and came up with an apple in his mouth, and they said, either you're a pig or you're Bob. And my advice to you is if you're going to open up a store of any kind, come up with something better than Bob, because it's kind of boring, to be honest with you. So I went to the 99 yesterday. A very, very odd place. I don't quite understand the name of that place either. When it first opened, was it called The One? No, that'd be Pizzeria Uno. I'm sorry. Because originally when they opened Pizzeria Uno, you know, Uno means one. That's all you could order. I'd like two pizzas. No, I'm sorry. This is Pizzeria Uno. You want two pizzas, you go to Pizzeria Duo. That's not what we're called. We thought we might call it Bob's. But this guy on the radio said, no, don't do that. So I'm at the 99 restaurant, and I actually walked up to the hostess. I'm a host of a radio show, by the way. She was the hostess of the 99. And apparently there's a lot of them. And I said to her, why is this place called the 99? Was there some kind of executive meeting, and they said, what should we call our restaurant chain? 17? No, that's not good. Let's call it 63. No. How about 69? Oh, yeah. No, we can't do that. We got kids coming in. We can't do that. Want to call it 72? No, no, no. Let's aim a little higher. 87? No, 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 no. 98? No. 99? Yes. Yes. I mean, seriously, what was the thought pattern there? How did that come to be? Anyway, so I say to the hostess, I'd like a table, and I don't want to sit anywhere near children. And she didn't know what to say. And I said to her, why is this called the 99? And she said, because she knew the answer to this. I guess she actually received a paycheck from them. She said, the reason we call it the 99 is that there are 99 reasons why you should eat here. I said, okay, name them. She couldn't, but she said, but there are 99 reasons. And then I looked around the walls of the restaurant. They actually have some of the reasons posted on the walls, like graffiti. I only saw like maybe 12 reasons tops, and some of them were very, very loose reasons. They were not the, you know, reason number one was because the food is good. I mean, come on. Reason number two, I don't know. I don't remember why. Reason number three, the prices aren't all that bad. It's just, it was very, very, very odd. Very, very odd, this restaurant. The 92, the 90, 99, the 96. Let's call it the 97. I don't know. Let's call it the 92. Let's call it 123. Now we can't fit that on the sign. So anyway, so I'm sitting there in the restaurant, and it's perplexing me. It's just bothering me, the name of the restaurant. And I start running through my head all the other things that have numbers in their names, and I'm trying to figure this out. And I know there's Heinz 57, and I know that that's 57 varieties of things that Heinz makes, and I couldn't name all 57. And I'm thinking, well, maybe a lot of the things that Heinz makes really never took off. So maybe, you know, like, what was Heinz 1? What was Heinz? I thought Heinz 1 should have been the catch-up. I don't know what Heinz 2, Heinz 3, Heinz 4. I know Heinz 5 is relish. The 57. And I assume they don't make all 57 varieties of Heinz stuff anymore. So shouldn't that be changed? Like maybe now it's 42 or something. I really don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand why people name things like that. There's a spray cleaner. You're probably familiar with it. It's called Formula 409. And it cleans pretty well. Kinda. But I'm trying to figure out how this product actually came into being. Because obviously if this is Formula 409, what the hell happened to 408 down through 1? Did they not work at all? I got an idea. I got an idea for a cleaner. The guys in the lab are in the back. They're putting it together. Here it is. I call it Formula One. That doesn't clean anything, man. It actually makes a mess. All right. Guys, that's no good. Come up with another. All right, we got Formula Two here. That didn't work. It took them 409 tries to get a formula that actually cleans something. I mean, at a point, like Formula 407, and still nothing's working, do you say, look, maybe we should give this whole thing up? This cleaning thing wasn't a great idea. Maybe we should open up a clothing store or something, because this ain't working. We can't seem to come up with a formula to clean anything. It's been 408 tries. We got nothing. Granted, Formula 397 was oil and vinegar, and it made a hell of a salad dressing. But it didn't clean anything. Formula 325 was actually just a dustpan and a broom. It cleaned stuff, but it wasn't good enough. Are the guys in the back just not doing their job? Should we just fire everybody in research? Because how many tries does it take to make a cleaner? Come on, man. Should have quit after Formula 16. I would say this isn't working out. Took him 409 tries. 407 didn't work. 408 didn't work. Then all of a sudden, the guy comes running and saying, I got it. Great, what are we going to name this thing? Well, it took us 409 tries. Let's call it Formula 409. That's a great idea. Let's tell the public how stupid we are, how many tries it took us to get this thing right. And to be honest with you, it's a so-so cleaner. It's not like the miracle stuff. It's not like OxyClean or something now. It's just, it's so-so. And even then, 409 tries, man. You guys are milking me of my research funds here. Come on. Guys suck. Formula 409. God. Come on. I think I've told a story before about the Arm & Hammer baking soda, which is also, it floors me. It's freaking baking soda, which is something that was invented a long time ago. You use it in baking and things like that. And the Arm & Hammer people said, all right, here's what we're going to do. Get some baking soda, put it in a box, sell it to people. You can't do that. Watch us. So they did. And then they said, well, we need a logo for Arm & Hammer. I can't figure this out. Arm & Hammer, what can we use as a logo? How about a picture of somebody's foot and a screwdriver? Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Yeah, let's do that. I just don't understand. And the marketing on this thing was incredible. It was incredible. They said, here's what you do. Buy our product, open the box, dump it down your sink, throw the box out, and buy another one next month. And people went, hey, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. How do you know this cleans your drain? Are you in the drain to see how clean that is? You don't know what this Arm & Hammer stuff is doing. I mean, what an incredible marketing scheme and scam this is. Buy a box of our stuff and throw it away. And then buy another one. Good idea. So what do we do with this baking soda again? Open the box, dump it down the drain, throw the box away, and buy another one. Wow. That's incredible. Maybe I can go to Costco and get a whole skid of it. Yeah, you can do that. They're falling for this, Joe. Maybe we should just call it Bob. How about that idea? This is working out great. We're making a fortune now. Baking soda. Eat in a box. And it's in a box.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
All right, now it's time to move forward in my life. Stephanie Zive. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Do you trust me, by the way? Do you trust me? Don't trust me. I'm not good. I'm not good at my word. If I tell you I'm going to do something, probably not going to do it. You can think the opposite. Ron says he's going to come over today. He's not showing up. Believe me, he's not showing up. I don't trust him. No, okay. Do you trust God? Yeah, enough to put it on the bill. Enough to put it on the money. You bet I do. Are you kidding me?
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Stephanie Ziv is a certified life coach. She's an expert on the Today Show segment, Coach Me If You Can. She's been involved in heavy media stuff for quite some time. And we're talking today about something that is topical that we're all kind of feeling, and that's about personal connections in a day and age where there seems to be some division among us and our concerns. I know February is a specific consumer month of some sort.
Yeah, you know, I'm so excited to be partnering with Pearl Vision to share the results of a recent study gauging Americans' level of trust. Mm-hmm. And obviously, trust took a hit in 2016. I think we all feel that. We know it. But one of the things that the survey shared was that while we trust our family and friends, which I think is obvious, we also trust doctors. It was a high level of 87%.
Really?
That people felt that.
Okay. I used to trust my doctor. I don't trust anybody anymore. Yeah, I don't know. I'm in an untrusting mood. Even friends.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I think I need personal coaching from you, to be honest with you.
I'm here for you, Ron.
So
I'm here for you.
So, all right, so that's what the survey showed. What do we do about that, though?
So, you know, it's these small moments of connection where we really feel cared for and we really feel heard, where trust is built. So I think that it is these, I think it's up to each of us individually to also be that for ourselves and each other and to be really mindful of taking those moments and creating a lot of them, you know, because it's the small moments that build so that eventually we see and feel that there is trust, that
yeah.
we can trust ourselves and each other. But it's a process, and we all need to really participate.
It is. I remember when I was growing up, I was told to trust everybody, and then if they break your trust, then, you know, act accordingly. And now it's kind of the opposite for me. It's like, you have to earn my trust right off the bat. And
right.
Yeah, and that's not wonderful, but it's the way it is. But how does that project into health? I mean, are you healthier if you can find relations that are trustworthy?
Well, I think trust is foundational to everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the key to the work that I do with people.
Right.
It is the, you know, if you don't trust the people who are caring for you, then
mm-hmm.
you are the one who actually that becomes a disservice to you in some way, right?
Right.
So the truth is that a part of what the survey found also was that, you know, when doctors specifically listen and really understand what's important to the patient, that's an example of the small moments where trust is built.
Yeah.
So I think it's these small building blocks that lead to someone, you know, to earn trust. And to your point, I think it's fractured right now, and I think that's a real thing, and people are questioning it. And but there's got to be a little opening where we can start to rebuild that. And it does, it's going to come in these small moments that we can see and then we can feel. And it's not going to come all at once, but it's a process, and it's something I think that we all need to commit to.
Yeah.
And it becomes a choice as well.
It does.
You know?
It does. Yeah, I mean, there has to be some repair here because I think that, especially politically, things were built on mistrust, and things went in a certain direction because of mistrust, oddly enough.
Yeah, and I actually think that part of that, you know, we do need to create more personal connection,
mm-hmm.
and I think that we are, and again, that it's small steps
right.
for big results.
Okay.
And it starts with listening, it starts with hearing, it starts with understanding what's important to the other, whether it is your doctor or it's someone who believes something politically different than you.
Mm-hmm.
The only way for us to come back together, which I do think is ultimately part of one's health as well,
uh-huh.
is to start to allow what is here now to be here now, and
yeah.
then the resistance goes away.
Yeah,
right. If you're spending your time resisting doctors or resisting someone who feels differently than you, that is energy that's taken from you, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, yes.
And that is not healthy.
So there's an
opportunity to reconnect with one's health also by asking, where am I resisting? Yeah. What can I allow?
Yeah.
You know? And and where can I start to create some of these moments of care and personal connection?
Yeah. You're good. You're good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. that's pretty decent. Okay, where do we go for more information?
So I would encourage everyone, honestly, to go to ProVision.com mm-hmm. and schedule your annual eye exam, because the other part of the survey is that what we see, we really believe, and we all need to expand our vision right now instead of just living in tunnel vision.
I gotcha. Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care, Steph. Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
Wow. The real talent there is connecting an optical store to trusting people. That's like, wow, that's, how did you do that? Fascinating display. Thank you so much, Steph. Steph. Okay, all right, shh. Quiet down, let's take it easy. Time to take a nap. Let's take a nap together. Oh, yeah. Ah.
Western girl, round the fire, oh so bright. I'd be the Indian's friend.
Jeff Lynne, Electric Light Orchestra, Wild West Hero, in case you're interested. We had a very violent past in our history, didn't we? There used to be like cowboys and Indians, I suppose, is what I hear. And they shot each other with guns, and they pierced each other's bodies with bows and arrows, and a lot of stuff going on there. And then in the Wild West, people used to just like walk down the streets and shoot each other. Hey, I don't like you. You're looking at my girlfriend really strange. And they'd blow them away. I mean, that wasn't too good. A lot of people compare the Wild West to the way that we live now with people walking around with guns. Well, it's not that bad because they used to have sheriffs. Can you believe? I don't know what sheriffs did. I mean, What did a sheriff do? How is there law and order in the West when everybody had guns shooting each other? What the hell is a sheriff doing? Hey, you can't shoot people. Well, then I'll shoot you. Oh, no. That must have been a weird time. Weird time. I don't know. Odd. In a way, I'm kind of happy that we're civilized. In another way, I don't think we're very civilized. Sometimes I think we go backwards. Do you feel that way too? Yeah, sometimes I think society goes backwards. I was speaking to somebody yesterday on the street, because that's where I talk to people, in the street, in an open area. And they said, Ron, you know, you're very, very hard on the new president. You criticize. You know, you're just like the rest of the media. You're criticizing. And I said to that person, I said, you know what? As you know what my response is going to be, that's what this country is all about. You can criticize me for criticizing if you wish. But these are my thoughts. And you have your thoughts. And I said, you know what? But I am a little bit hard on these things. I mean, a lot of stuff that the guy's trying to do, the orange face Oompa Loompa guy, a lot of the stuff he's trying to do is kind of good. Some of it is kind of bad. I get the thesis of the immigration problem, but it was the wrong way to go and do it. It was like a child saying, oh, no, you just, I'm going to solve it by just doing this. As opposed to sitting down with intelligent people and figuring out good ways of making things better without disrupting people's lives. Without acting like a dictator. There are ways to do things if you just sit down and think them out. You don't do them because you said you were going to do them in a campaign. Today, the Oompa Loompa said, he was interested, and he wanted to meet with the pharmaceutical companies. He wants the cost of pharmaceuticals, drugs, to go down in this country. They're far too expensive. They're made cheaply in other countries, and we make them here. We don't import the stuff from other countries. You can't. We have to make it here, and it has to be super expensive, and people can't afford the medications that they need. Well, bravo. Bravo. If you can pull that off, that would be a feather in your cap. That's the kind of crap that I want you to do. That's when you're working for the people. This immigration thing, I don't know. Yeah, it does have to be vetted really strictly, but you can't disrupt people's lives to the point where a lady can't go to her son's wedding or get home or something like that. I mean, come on. I just that was worsely executed than Obamacare. You criticize Obamacare for being executed poorly. Oompa Loompa, you did one of the poorest executions on immigration. You shattered the world with this stuff without explaining what the hell was going on. They still don't even know. So do the good things, but think them out, man. Think them out. Use your brain. You can't sit behind a desk and just throw out ideas and do executive orders day and night. You're going to piss people off. I don't think he cares if he pisses people off, but he sure cares if they piss him off. All right, I said I wasn't going to talk about it to this guy that I met on the street, and I won't. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Happy Groundhog's Day to you. I suggest a filet with a side of potato pancakes.